Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
There's a high fly ball
from KMOX Sports.
That's hit deep to left field, and it's a gutter.
Big fly, Nolan Arenado. There's a moment for you.
Welcome to the Meyer Jensen Sports Open Line.
And it's driving jam time.
And the Billikens win this one.
Meyer Jensen, a personal injury law firm, because sometimes the gloves have to come off. MeyerJensen.com.
Comeback pattern caught. Touchdown, Kansas City.
Now, Sports Open Line on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, great to be with you guys. Welcome in. Thursday night on Sports Open Line. We got a lot of ground to cover today. I do have a lot of baseball I want to do tonight. Shocking, I know. Wheeler wants to talk baseball. I know. We will have some hockey here first, though. I want to talk about the Blues to start the show. We're going to have Chip Carey, Braves broadcaster, is going to join me. We'll talk around 6:30. So one of the prides of Parkway West is going to join us. And we'll talk a bit about how the Braves got to this point. I mean, you know, they have an interesting path, and I'm going to talk more about the comparison that I could make between the Braves and the Cardinals coming up in the next segment. But we'll talk to Chip Carey at 6:30 in advance of Game 5 of the NLCS tonight. Braves could move on to the World Series if they can pick up a win tonight. I also want to talk about how the Dodgers are proof, especially if they lose this series, they're proof that no matter how awesome you think you are, the playoffs and the regular series are not the same thing. It doesn't matter if you're the 90-win team or the 106-win team in the playoffs. You just have to be playing well at that moment. And we'll get into that a little bit later on. I want to talk about pitching a little bit more. The other day I brought up the subject of whether or not it would be a good idea for, you know, more teams, including perhaps the Cardinals, to be more on the advanced side of how pitching staffs are deployed and how teams are used. And I'm going to make the argument that I think the Dodgers are facing elimination in part because of how they've handled their pitching. I know they haven't hit well enough. That's the big issue. That's number one, right? I mean, if you're not scoring, you're not winning. But I think they've actually hurt themselves by going to Max Scherzer in relief, by going to Julio Urias in relief, by using these guys, not just in a non-traditional way. I don't mind that so much, but you know, you're using them in that way, and it's leading to pitching on short rest. And clearly, it impacted those two guys when it was their turn to start again. And now you're down 3-1 in the NLCS. You had the best bullpen in baseball all season long. And then all of a sudden, you're going to get to the playoffs and be like, yeah, you know, I really want my starter to pitch in that spot instead of one of the nine relievers that I have that was effective for me this year. And there was no reason that Max Scherzer had to close out the fifth game against the Giants. I mean, Kenley Jansen's a closer. They had all kinds of guys. Blake Treinen, I mean, they all pitched, but they all pitched an inning sooner than they normally would. There was no reason to do that. It wasn't necessary. And I think the Dodgers going that route might have actually harmed their chances. We'll get to that. We'll talk a bit more about, you know, maybe leaning heavier into the traditional method of developing starting pitching and deploying your pitching staff, and we'll talk about that later on in the show. So let's start for real with the Blues, because the Blues are off to a hell of a start. They won again last night. They beat Vegas 3-1. And look, I know Vegas was missing a couple of guys, and again, top six guys. You know, Stone didn't play last night. I know that when you played Colorado, they were missing McKinnon and Landeskog. I mean, I'm not saying that wow, they're 3-0. They're going to win all of their games and be the number one seed and win the Stanley Cup. I mean, we're not jumping to ridiculous conclusions here, but there have been some really good things in these three games. Now, there were some issues. In fact, when we talked to Bernie Federko a couple days ago, he mentioned it. They got to tighten it up on defense. And, you know, they did. Yeah, they did that last night. They didn't do it in the first period necessarily. Things were a little loose there for a while. But, you know, and they gave up a lot of shots, which is something I'm sure that they're going to want to get a handle on. I mean, Jordan Binnington was good last night. He stopped 42 of 43 shots. And you definitely don't want to have him facing that many shots on a regular basis. But the nice thing has been, obviously, stacking up points, right? I mean, it's the beauty of a sport that's based on points. Your winning percentage doesn't matter. None of that matters. All that matters in the end is how many points you have. So when you get two, you take two, and you keep them. Those are yours the rest of the year. So stacking the points now is great. And beating Colorado and beating Vegas now, that's great. They don't have to be perfect wins. They don't have to be more than anything other than you got 2 points against teams that you hopefully will be competing with for seeding at the top of the Western Conference. But the Blues' forward depth has shown itself. You look at the way that it's gone down with so many guys. I mean, you've had a few guys that are really throwing up numbers. Like Jordan Kyrou has been throwing up numbers so far this year, leading the team in points. He had he had another couple assists last night, but he's got 7 points in 3 games. And Justin Falk has been really good at 4 points in 3 games. Not just talking about like that, but every single skater except for James Neal has contributed at least 1 point so far through 3 games. That was actually true before last night. That was true through 2 games. So you've used 24 skaters, and 23 of them have contributed to the offense either with a goal or an assist. And that depth is the strength of the team. They do have high-quality players. They do have high-end talent. But they don't have Connor McDavid, right? They don't have a Sidney Crosby. They don't have Steven Stamkos. They don't have one of those guys. But what they have is just a lot of really good players. And if you look at most teams around the league, I don't think most of them are going to run out anywhere near this kind of depth. And I should also point out, too, you know, the Blues won last night without one of their top six guys, too, with Buchnevich serving the suspension. And then Saturday, they're going to be without Brandon Saad now, too. Turns out he's going to be out Saturday because of COVID protocols. So two of your two big additions from the offseason, two of your top six forwards, are not going to play against L.A. But you know what? You don't even really – I don't anyway, at least not yet. I don't blink at that right now because I know you've got depth. And I know you've got enough guys that can fill in from the back that's going to give you a chance. And you'll still have 9 quality offensive players out there, and the fourth line will still be, you know, contributing at least some to that. So I wouldn't say by any means it's been a perfect start to the season. Yeah, I mean, again, they've had their share of defensive. I don't know if I want to go miscues, but certainly defensive issues. And that's kind of the area that, and I'm talking about the defensemen. I do think the forwards have contributed to some of the loose defense. But, the concern on the team, the area that we wanted to see develop a little bit more was the defensive group. You know, how does it kind of sort out with Wallman and Mikkola, and how do they assert themselves this year? What are you going to get out of Torrey Krug in year two? Not that that's going to be bad. It's just it's a question, right? It's something that we got to sort out. And the forward depth is going to be the part that kind of carries you through while you do get that all sorted out. Either way, though, I think it's been they've played an entertaining brand of hockey. Yeah, we want to see it cleaned up on the defensive side. You want to see fewer shots allowed, fewer opportunities. You don't want to have your goalie bailing you out all the time. But while you're going through that to be getting wins against 2 quality opponents in your first 3 games is a pretty big deal. And when you come home for the 4-game homestand, you got 2 against the Kings. You'll play Colorado again. You've got Chicago. So, you know, not that we're counting big games or anything like that at this point. It's just good hockey right now. It's just good to have a new season and know that not everything's going perfectly well, but you're winning games and scoring goals. I mean, you got 15 goals in 3 games. So I'd like to see that keep up. It'd be pretty nice. And two of those games are against pretty quality teams. That's 8 goals in 2 games against Colorado in Vegas. And by the way, last night, that game could have been 6-1. Robin Leonard was unbelievable. He made, especially, I'd say, like late first period, early second, he made some saves that game could have gotten out of hand much earlier than it did. It never really got out of hand. I mean, it wasn't until like midway through the third period when Tarasenko scored to make it 2-1, and you know, Barbashev's goal was, what, 18:48 or something into the third period. So it was a game all the way along. But if not for some of the saves that Robin Leonard made for the Golden Knights, the Blues could have won that game, scored another two or three goals. They could have scored five or six goals, I think, pretty easily last night. So the offense looks great, off to a fantastic start, and looking forward to seeing how things play out for the home opener coming up Saturday night against the Kings. All right, coming up next, I shouldn't say a little bit back. We'll go back to some baseball before we bring in Chip Carey. I want to talk about the Braves with Chip, and I'm going to actually talk about a Cardinals-Braves comparison coming up next here on KMOX.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, so Braves are one win away from reaching the World Series, and they're doing that, obviously, against the Dodgers. And, you know, this isn't that big of a surprise, right? I mean, we've seen it before. The Cardinals have been this team before that gets in with fewer wins than the teams that they're facing, and they end up going out and winning a trophy. They did it in 2006. They did it in 2011. And this is not an unusual dynamic. You know, every once in a while when you get a team like last year, you get a team like the Dodgers that is amazing and they've got a great regular season record, and then they go out and win the World Series. Everybody's like, oh, see, you know, best team wins. But that doesn't happen, but maybe half the time. Your team doesn't need to win 106 games or be that quality or spend that kind of money to win a 7-game series or a 5-game series. You need to be good enough, though, and I think that, you know, when we talk about this, I don't think it's a good strategy to be like, ah, the wild card's okay. Not really. Not in this setting. And the Cardinals found out why. You got no room for error. But I don't think we're going to have this format anymore anyway. I think we're going to have a different format moving forward. Probably something like 7 teams with a number one seed getting a bye, the other 6 teams all playing 3-game series. And then, you know, move on to the next round. Everything's back to the 5 and then 7-game and then 7-game. So it's not going to be a one and done anymore. And unless you're the overall number one seed, you're not going to get a bye. You're going to play that three-game series. So I don't think we have to worry about that whole thing anymore as far as like, well, you know, you can't be – the wild card's not the way you should shoot for it. I agree. You should try to win your division. You definitely want to be the higher seed. You definitely want to be the team that plays a series instead of a game. But the Braves are a good team, and they're probably better than that 88-win season tells you. Because they had a lot of injuries and you know, I mean, not just, you know, losing Acuna and not just losing Marcelo Zuna when they did, but Mike Soroka was supposed to be back this year at the front end of the rotation, and he had a second Achilles injury. You know, they've had their share of problems, and yet they're playing good ball right now, and they salvaged their season by going out and replacing the people that they lost. They went out and traded for Jock Peterson. They went out and traded for Jorge Soler. They went and got Eddie Rosario. They got Adam Duvall. All these deals that were fairly moderate when the deals were done. They weren't anything big. They didn't have to mortgage their farm system to do it, but they replaced some of the guys. And, oh, man, look at that. I'll talk about this with Chip Carey in a few minutes, but those guys are killing it in the postseason. Like, all the guys they went out and traded for are having great postseason runs. But this team is not that different and certainly not notably better in any way than the Cardinals team is. But guess what? The difference is that, well, A, they were in a crappier division, so they got to go to this game instead of playing a wild card game. And the other difference is, you know, they've got more things going right at the moment. But let's not forget, too, the Cardinals were literally one swing of the bat worse than the Dodgers in that wild card game. That game was dead even except for one swing of the bat. And that's baseball, right? It's sports. It's how it works. But it's not like it was a mismatch. And if they were in a five-game series, the Cardinals would have every bit of a chance to beat the Dodgers that the Braves do right now. But what we can learn from the Braves is that when they had to make significant change in season, they did. Now, the Cardinals they upgraded their team. They didn't do it in the same way that the Braves did, right? I mean, they did it gradually, and they did it with lesser deals. You know, bringing in T.J. McFarland and Luis Garcia, those were by no means like blockbuster. Nobody at the time was like, oh, yeah, there you go. You're solving problems. It was like, all right, well, hopefully they throw strikes because that'll be better than the guys they're replacing. And they turned out to be fantastic. And, you know, Lester and Happ and LeBlanc, those guys definitely helped stabilize things. So in that way, it was a similar philosophy, right? All right, here's our need. We're not going to go crazy. We're not going to get stupid and go out and, you know, trade our best prospects for things that are going to help us try to maybe make a little bit of a run. But we're going to get some help. Now, what the Braves did was a little bit more aggressive than that, but it was the same idea, right? You know, guys like Jock Peterson, Eddie Rosario, Adam Duvall, these guys are all rentals. They're all free agents at the end of the season. So same thing with Jorge Soler. And none of them were having such big seasons before that they were going to be overly costly in terms of prospects. So the Braves took advantage of the opportunity. They fixed their problems. But it's also important to point out, you know, there were worries about the Braves' bullpen, you know, at the end of the regular season. Their bullpen has been lights out in this series and in the playoffs so far. So I think if you're looking at how this goes, if you compare the Cardinals to the Dodgers, it feels like you're light years away from the Dodgers, right? The Dodgers have so many big names and so many good players. But yet, they're down 3-1, and they could be going home tonight. And I don't think you look at the Braves and see them being significantly better than you as a team. They're a little different, but they're not significantly better than you. In fact, I'd say you guys are probably, given your records and all of that, similar circumstance that you dealt with this year, I'd have to say you're very comparable to the Atlanta Braves. All right, so we're going to talk more about the Braves in that Game 5 tonight with Braves broadcaster Chip Carey. He's going to be kind enough to join us to talk about the game that's coming up later on. And, of course, Chip Carey, native of St. Louis, longtime Braves broadcaster before that, worked with the Cubs, the Mariners, all-around good guy. And we'll talk a bit about Game 5 tonight with him next here on KMOX.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame.
Two more rings, two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Thursday night here on Sports Open Line. Kevin Wheeler with you here and obviously talking a little baseball. We've had the little Cardinals talk already this hour. We're going to focus on the National League Championship Series here, though. Game 5 coming up tonight. Dodgers hosting the Braves. The Braves with a 3-1 series lead. And we've got Chip Carey, St. Louis native, Braves broadcaster, kind enough to join us here on the show tonight. First of all, Chip, thanks for doing this. Always appreciate your time. And, boy, what a heck of a season the Braves have been having. They're on a heck of a run here.
Yeah, so far so good. But we've been here before. We've still got some unfinished business to take care of tonight. I think the Braves feel very good about where they sit, especially because their pitching's in order. I'm sure you want to talk about that. But for this team even to be where they are is really one of the most remarkable stories in Major League Baseball, and maybe one of the most remarkable stories in Braves franchise history, considering all this team has been through. So quite obviously very exciting times, and hopefully with one more win we can get to the World Series for the first time in over two decades.
Yeah, it would be great. I said before once the Cardinals were eliminated, Chip, I said there's not much I want to root for here. I don't want to root for the Dodgers again. I don't want to root for the Giants. I'd much rather root for Atlanta because it's been a while, number one. But two, I think everybody here in St. Louis can kind of identify with the road that the Braves had to travel this year. I know the Cardinals had their own bumpy road, and it's kind of cool to see someone continue on after, you know, what was really not an easy season.
No, it wasn't easy in any way, shape, or form. It's kind of like the Blues Stanley Cup run a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
You know, you have some adversity, you get a hot goaltender, and all of a sudden you start to believe, and then things start to fall into place. And look, you never know when the baseball gods are going to tap you on the shoulder and say it's your turn. I think a lot of people around baseball, certainly around this town, and certainly around our fan base, thought the season was over when Ronald Acuna Jr. blew out his knee before the All-Star break. Look, you lose one of the game's great superstars for a season-ending injury. When you consider that you've already lost Mike Soroka, that Marcelo Zuna was out, that Travis d'Arnaud was out, that you're in a division with the big spending Mets and the Philadelphia Phillies, who, in the case of the Phillies, hadn't nearly had as many injury situations as the Braves had pop up over the course of the first half of the season. I think the natural inclination was to say, maybe it's just not our year after all the great things that happened to them in the COVID-shortened season of last year. But this team never quit. They never do. Brian Snitker, who hails from Cardinals country, you know, he's got that Midwestern work ethic and just said, look, we can't worry about yesterday. We can't worry about tomorrow. Let's try to win today. And he was able, through the force of his personality and the steady hand of leadership after 40 years of being around this organization, managing in the minor leagues and dealing with players of all stripes in all situations possible, he was really able to keep things together. And the team rewarded him with a good road trip in Philadelphia and New York. Around the end of July, and that's when Alex Anthopoulos decided to go for it, got Jock Peterson and all those other outfielders and Richard Rodriguez, and the rest, as they say, is history. They got into first place in early August, never relinquished it, and as I said, they've gotten hot at the right time with some of those new guys who've had a fabulous run in the postseason, and that's where they are on the precipice of knocking off the defending world champions with tonight's game to be played.
Yeah, it's fascinating. The some of the guys that, you know, you mentioned, the guys that were quote-unquote the replacements for Marcelo Zuna, who first went out with injury and, of course, had the off-the-field legal issues as well, and Ronald Acuna with his knee. And the guys that you brought in, Eddie Rosario, Adam Duvall, Jock Peterson, those have been three of the best hitters you guys have had throughout the postseason.
Yeah, I think those four guys combined have hit .320, six homers, and 21 RBIs in postseason play. And, it's really remarkable. It's not too often that you see in a big league season go through three waves of outfielders, and that's exactly what the Braves had to deal with.
Yeah.
The year began with Acuna in right, Christian Pache, a kid in center, Ozuna in left. All three of those guys disappeared. Then you had Abraham Almonte, Guillermo Heredia, and Eddie Adrianza in the outfield. All three of those guys have assumed different roles. And now you've got Jorge Soler, who's currently out with COVID. The Cardinals fans know all about him from Kansas City.
Oh, yeah.
Jock Peterson, Adam Duvall, and Eddie Rosario. It's really, really a remarkable story. As I said, it's one of persistence. It's one of prescience by Alex Anthopoulos to go get guys that were right mixed players. and to get guys that are everyday players at the trading deadline and not give up an awful lot. I think it's really a masterstroke, and the fact that these guys have done and come in and done such good things, number one, but fit in so well speaks volumes about the culture that Alex Anthopoulos and Brian Snicker are creating here.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt to have Freddie Freeman anchoring it all and Austin Riley having a big breakout year this year too, right?
Well, you guys know about that in St. Louis.
Oh,
there
yeah.
are Arenado and Goldschmidt. Look, Austin Riley is the MVP as far as I'm concerned. All the other candidates aren't playing. He still is, and he's having a fabulous postseason. Look, his numbers are very comparable to Nolan Arenado's at a much younger age. We're very excited about what he is, what he's become, and what he's going to be. The term I've used on our broadcast is he's kind of a Troy Gloss body with a Scott Rolen athleticism, and I know Cardinal fans can relate to that. That's, I think, a very apt way of describing him. And Freddie Freeman, look, he's the reigning MVP. He's been through this before, and you might recall at the beginning of spring training, Freddie Freeman said of this team, it's World Series or bust. And I can't say enough about what these guys have done, considering all that they've been through. Because, again, in July, I think this would have been a fantasy as far as Braves country was concerned that they were going to get here. But Brian Snitker said in July privately with me, this team's a good team. And when we get there, it will be so satisfying to win this division. And he has said that winning it was even better than the fantasy of winning it. And now, of course, there's still a few more steps to take. Braves need five more wins to claim a world championship, and that path starts tonight in just a few minutes with Max Fried on the mound.
Absolutely. And, you know, you mentioned Max Fried. I mean, first of all, what a story there. Been one of the best pitchers in the league all season long. But it's been interesting to watch these playoffs, Chip. I mean, obviously, everybody's hyper-aggressive with how they use their pitchers. They use planned bullpen days, which used to be only an emergency thing not that long ago. But obviously, today, the Dodgers are doing that, but that's out of necessity rather than, I'm sure, by choice. Meanwhile, the Braves, I wouldn't say it's been totally traditional because some guys have come out of games early, but Charlie Morton, Max Fried, Ian Anderson, from what I've seen, have all looked fantastic every time out, with the one exception for Charlie in relief.
Yeah, you know, Ian Anderson had an okay outing. I mean, he pitched three innings and was cuffed around a little bit. They got him out early, so he would be available in an emergency, but would pitch game six if it gets that far.
Uh-huh.
The Braves are a pitching-first organization. I've come from an era where that's important. Stealing bases, playing small ball, mm-hmm. it's important. I don't want to sound like a dinosaur, but those things are magnified in postseason play because when you don't hit home runs, you've got to find ways to create offense, number one. And number two, you have to find ways to prevent offense. And good starting pitching is the best way to do that because, as you know, the more often that bullpen gate swings open, the more often you have a chance to find a guy that's going to have a bad day.
Yeah.
To put your point in perspective at how differently the game has changed, look, the Dodgers loaded up on starting pitching, and they've got three Cy Young winners that aren't available in this series, Clayton Kershaw, Trevor Bauer, and David Price.
Mm-hmm.
They can't pitch for them. They gambled with Max Scherzer and Urias, pitched them out of the bullpen, which affected them in their next start. They were pitching on short rest.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't the same guys. Tonight, they've got a bullpen game against Atlanta in a must-win scenario, not just tonight, but potentially in Game 6 and 7 as well. But the bigger picture is the Dodgers have used 28 men to throw a pitch in these four games of this series. They've made 24 pitching changes.
Wow.
24 of them.
Oh,
and you wonder why the game is a slog and why there isn't much rhythm to them. That's probably a pretty good reason why. And I don't think anybody at the start of this season, much less this series, thought that the LA Dodgers would be forced to ostensibly pitch three or four bullpen games with their season survival on the line after 105 or 106 wins. But that's where they are, and that's how the games change. It's not for me to say whether it's good or bad. But I certainly will tell you, I think the Braves feel a lot better about their situation pitching-wise than the Dodgers do going into tonight's game.
Absolutely. You know, it's such a, you know, Max Fried, obviously that group of guys, he and Jack Flaherty, I mean, and Lucas Giolito, is such an interesting group. I mean, how great must it have been, by the way, just as a high school coach to look over and go, huh, wonder which one of these guys I need to go to in the big game. Of course, at that time, Flaherty was playing shortstop. So an interesting guy and obviously super talented. I've been really impressed with him.
Yeah, I was going to say their coach at Harvard, Westlake, really stinks. He had three All-Stars and didn't win the state championship. No, but look, Max is a great kid, very cerebral, very thoughtful. And let's be honest, he wasn't born and raised Brave. He was drafted by the Padres. And mm-hmm. when San Diego went for it and traded for Kimbrel and Justin Upton and the like, the Braves, under their previous regime, brought in Max Fried, who was coming back from Tommy John surgery, a high draft pick. But they liked his arm. They liked his makeup. They liked his curveball. And they waited patiently for him to develop. He was a guy that sort of learned his apprenticeship in a big league bullpen with some spot starts. And now, after an undefeated season last year, he's turned into, knock on wood, the hottest pitcher, not just in the National League, but in all of baseball since early August. So, you know, the pitchers take time to develop. The Braves, as you know how to do that. They're not afraid to give guys opportunities, lengthy opportunities to serve, as I said, an apprenticeship before they turn them loose in rotation. And Max Fried's the kind of guy that once he's gotten hold of that spot, doesn't appear to be letting it go any soon. And for me, he's kind of a modern-day version of a young Cole Hamels. He pitches exactly the same way, same kind of stoicism and demeanor. Not as sharp a slider, big breaking ball, but a real good fastball. And like Tom Glavine, very stoic on the mound, which we all love.
Absolutely. Chip, I want to close on the bullpen. I mean, coming into the postseason, I know this was almost everybody's big concern. I read a lot of the previews, a lot of analysis about it, and there were some worries about Will Smith being a little inconsistent down the stretch and how they were going to match up. And, I mean, I don't know, what, except for basically the one swing of the bat from Cody Bellinger against Luke Jackson, which was on a ball up and almost out of the zone, I don't know that I've seen too many bad outings from those guys.
No, they haven't. They've been terrific. You know, guys that pitch like Will Smith do are why guys like Dan McLaughlin and I have gray hair. you know, at the end of the day, you know, everybody wants a Craig Kimbrell. Everybody wants, a Jason Isringhausen or a Bruce Sutter. The way the game is now, and as good as hitters are now, those are really, really rare things nowadays. I doubt we're ever going to see a Brad Lidge season where a guy runs the table all the way through the World Series championship. The game is too hard. The hitters are too good. And the opportunity and the margin for error is so small now. At the end of the day, you really only care about one thing, and that is the end result. You know, kind of the don't tell me about the pain, show me the baby philosophy. Right. And Will Smith has shown the baby. I mean, he's got 40-plus saves this postseason, three saves, two wins against Milwaukee and the Dodgers. And so he and Luke Jackson and Tyler Matzik and others have really stepped up when the Braves have needed them most, and all props and credit to them, because as we know, the relief corps all around Major League Baseball had to make a big adjustment since June the 3rd when the clampdown on sticky substances took place. And I think guys all around the bullpens in Major League Baseball deserve a tip of the cap for not just surviving but thriving and figuring out how to do it and do it well. And our guys have, knock on wood, done that to this point.
And we'll close on Matzik, because I don't know that there's a better story in the game here the last couple of years. I mean, didn't pitch in the big leagues from 2016 through 2019. Comes back last year, gets a chance. He's, you know, I know he's had a lot of challenges, which is what I love about the story, because he comes back and you see, you know, the kind of the modern game is these guys tend to pop up out of nowhere and you're like, wow, that guy throws 98, that guy throws 97. Where'd these guys come from? And you know, we know his history. He was a really well-regarded young player, kind of in the 2013-2014 range, and obviously out of the game for a while, now back and just dominating in the postseason for the second straight year.
Yeah, it's funny how baseball life comes full circle. Tyler Matzik made his big league debut against the Braves as a Rockies starting pitcher and beat them. And Walt Weiss was his manager. And Walt Weiss found out that Matzik was picking up a baseball and throwing it again, got back in touch with him, and they invited him to spring training. As Brian Snitker said, he was just noticing him on the backfields, and he called him a fence jumper. They needed an arm. They brought him over, brought him to the big league camp, sat him in the locker room. He fit right in, put him in a couple of games, and as you said, started throwing 97, 98 with command. They said, this guy can help us. And sure enough, he certainly has done that. He's a great kid, a great story, a guy that saw anxiety nearly drive him out of the game. And I think with maturity and wisdom, obviously, and going through that, has developed a greater appreciation for the sport, what it means to him, what he means to it. And I think that's really helped him settle in moments like this. Look, when you're worried about your livelihood, facing Mookie Betts with the game on the line in the seventh inning probably isn't going to intimidate you an awful lot. And I think that, as well as a big fastball, is as huge a weapon for Tyler Matzik as anything else. And we're all very proud of him and very excited and glad that he's on our side.
Yeah, he's been great. Chip, speaking of been great, thank you for doing this. Really appreciate you. I know you got a lot of friends listening. My man Mark Reardon told me to say hey, but I was afraid that would make you upset, so I didn't do that early.
Hello, and it's always great to talk to my hometown station, and happy to help anytime, and looking forward to getting back to St. Louis when we travel next year. It's been far too long to catch up with a lot of old friends, including you guys. So look forward to seeing you soon, and hopefully the Braves can seal the deal in just a few minutes against the Dodgers out west.
Well, we're looking forward to that, and hopefully they'll get that done. Thank you so much, Chip. We appreciate you.
My pleasure. Enjoy. Thank you very much.
Chip Carey, he's the best. And by the way, you know, at the beginning of the playoffs, I was seats, you know, after the Cardinals, I shouldn't say the beginning of the playoffs. At the beginning of the division series, I was seeking a team to root for, and I was like, Dodgers, nope, can't root for Goliath. Giants, nope, not rooting for them. They've won too much in the last 10 years. Red Sox, nope. I don't think that needs explanation. Astros, nope. I don't think that needs explanation either. The more I went down the list, I was like, Yankees, no, you know, all that. I'm like, you know, I think the Braves are the team. Similar in terms of, you know, market size and finances as the Cardinals, 88-win team. Why not go with the underdog? So I'm going with them, and hopefully they'll win tonight. And I wouldn't mind it if they won the World Series for the first time. I think it's, did he say 20 years? Oh, my God, I can't believe it's been that long. That dynasty it lasted forever. But, yeah, they only had the one World Series during that entire run. All right, stick around. We'll come back and wrap up this hour with a little bit more baseball. And I've got even more coming up after the top of the hour news here on KMOX. All right, so just a couple of minutes left. Well, more than a couple, but a few minutes left here in this hour. And I just want to get the topic started for next hour, because I want to talk a bit more about the way that you want to do things in the postseason. And look, the Dodgers may come back and win the next three games in the NLCS and then go on to win the World Series. So as long as they're alive, I'm not going to write them off. But at this point, down 3-1 in the NLCS, I would argue that they are proof that having the best roster, having the biggest budget, having the big win total in the regular season just doesn't hold any weight once you get to the postseason. It just doesn't. We've seen it so many times, and we've seen the Cardinals on both ends of this spectrum. I do think that we fixate too much, and I say we because I do it too, on how many games some of these teams win. Like, oh my God, the Dodgers and the Giants, they won so... Yeah, but you know what? It didn't matter in the postseason. First of all, they had to play each other. And second of all, the 88-win team is about to eliminate the 106-win team with a $267 million payroll. You know, this is the team that, like, you know, they start losing guys and having injuries during the season, and their solution is, we'll just trade for Max Scherzer and Trey Turner. Like, who else is going to do that? First of all, a lot of the other high-revenue teams are just, I don't know, coward's not the right word, but sad, maybe, that they let the luxury tax stuff hold them back. I mean, when you're a team like the Yankees or the Dodgers and your revenues are like $750 million a year, are you really going to be that stressed out about a $10 or $12 or $15 million luxury tax? I mean, good God, man, that's nothing relative to the revenue that's coming in. It would be a lot for a team that, you know, doesn't have a half a billion dollars in revenue coming in every year. But, you know, this is the nature of this particular sport. I think it's the nature of the NHL, too, in that you can be great and have the best regular season record, and once the playoffs start, it doesn't matter. It doesn't make any difference. Now, in the NBA, it's a little more predictable. And obviously, it's a different sport, right? I mean, it's a sport that, you know, you got one, two, three guys on the roster, the right guys, you dominate the game because of the nature of the sport. You know, the NFL is not exactly predictable in the postseason. I think it's a little bit more, though, than baseball and hockey. But the point is that, you know, you're only as good on a given day as your starting pitcher. And that's what I want to talk about next hour. I want to talk about starting pitching, because for all of the, innovation that we've seen in the recent playoffs, all the innovation we've seen in the regular season with teams trying the opener and doing things along those lines, I still don't think anybody's found a better way to run a pitching staff than to go out and make sure that you have five starting pitchers that can all at the very least give you a chance to win and pitch some innings. Innings pitched still matters. Yeah, you can shuttle guys back and forth between AAA and the majors, and yeah, you can tax your bullpen and do all of that. But I don't know too many teams that have had, well, it's too early in the process, I guess. I mean, we'll see. If the Rays stay good for the next 10 years, well, then they will be the proof that we're talking about. But even there, I mean, like, they're doing it because they operate on almost no budget. If you operate with a reasonable budget of any kind, I don't think there's any reason to go that route. Now, do you sometimes go for a bullpen day if you've had injuries and you don't have good coverage? Sure, fine. And another part of what I want to get into next hour is whether or not the Dodgers have bit themselves in their own asses with the way that they've used Julio Urias and Max Scherzer in the postseason, using those guys on short rest in relief, and then they come back to start on short rest because they just pitched in relief. And by the way, the second time through for each of them, after the relief appearance, didn't go very well. And they're now down 3-1. Now, for sure, it's important to point out, for sure, the Dodgers are not hitting. But doesn't that make it that much more important to get your pitching decisions right? And when you've spent the kind of money on the bullpen that the Dodgers have, when you've got a guy that is going to be a borderline conversation for Hall of Fame as a closer in Kenley Jansen, you've got one of the top relievers, regardless of role, in all of baseball in Blake Treinen, who throws a 100-mile-an-hour two-seamer and has one of the best sliders in the game. And you've got Joe Kelly throwing 100 miles an hour. And you've got Corey Knebel, who was a closer for the Brewers before he got hurt, who's now back throwing 97, 98 miles an hour again. When you have all of these arms down there, why would you save Max Scherzer to close out a game? And again, I understand going to starters in a case where it's necessary, right? You're running low on guys, it's tied, and you're going extra innings, and you might need somebody to go multiple innings. Like, I get it. I just don't know that it should be the plan to say, well, you know what? If we're going to close it out today, we're going to close it out with Max Scherzer. How about you close it out with your closer, who's been awesome this year? So I want to dig in on that a little bit, too. So we're going to talk pitching in the next hour. And I do think that the Cardinals are well-suited to go a particular way with their pitching moving forward. I'll explain what I mean. I'll tell you why I think they have an edge over a lot of other teams next up here on KMOX.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.